for eternity, that to the extent we can leverage existing government property out there, we need to do that. So we have searched high and low for some good property, and we believe we have found a really great opportunity with the University of Illinois at Chicago, UIC. And we are working with them right now to see about establishing an intergovernmental agreement that would cover about a 10-year lease for some really nice call center space that would allow us a lot of flexibility with how we used it, as well as access to other campus amenities that would help things outside the call center. They would allow us to book auditoriums and big conference spaces and things that, especially as we go on with the Move Illinois program, would come in very handy as we go through all those collaborative efforts.
The other nice thing about this location, and again, it's not a done deal, but we wanted to keep you in the loop, I think, is that, you know, it's accessibility to not only, you know, people drive, you know, people who'd be driving to their jobs there, but, you know, the public transportation accessibility is very important. And when you're the state use vendors, you know, we've really prioritized working with the disabled community, veteran community. So I think that, that type of accessibility is going to be critical to making, those partnerships work.
And just skipping the next page really quickly because we're on that topic. There's a picture of where that call center mm-hmm. space would be. So that the building in orange there, that's on Halstead, pretty much just right off the highway. And that's their student center, and it's the lowest level of that student center that we would work with them to build out and create a call center in. It's a great space for call center employees as well, because, again, not only is it near public transportation and the highway, both, but it's also, it also has a lot of amenities, places to eat, and things like that that you don't have in miles.
Shana, when we talked about this before, I think I missed, or I... Is it the first floor, or is there a lower, is there a
There's
subgrade?
Like a garden level.
Okay.
So it's not a basement, but it's not
it's
a basement.
Partially below ground.
Yes.
Michael Burnham sure is a garden.
Yes.
See how I bring that all together?
You did, yeah. You
well
got
done.
Back to Laverne and Shirley. I didn't think it was possible.
Well done.
How much space is this?
It's about 18,000 square feet. So right now we're in about 12,000 square feet. Yes, and ideally we would, to just manage our existing operations in a better way, we would want 15,000 square feet. The additional square footage here is helpful because if there is a chance that we would ever go all electronic on more roadways mm-hmm. or whatnot, there's a possibility that our customer service would have to expand to handle all those additional calls and whatnot that we currently avoid by using cash. So there would be room to grow, which currently, I mean, we're bursting at our seams right now. 15,000 feet would give us what we need right now, but then we'd be stuck again. This at least would be some additional space if we needed it.
So fingers crossed.
Yes, fingers crossed. But we're really excited about finding it because we think it could be a very positive relationship on a number of levels. UIC. Then the second part is we are working to establish a partnership with a local state-use nonprofit organization for call center services that would take place at this location. We would anticipate it to cover about a 5-year contract for services. And really what this comes down to now is the procurement process for state use, which is... really just kind of a direct negotiation of a contract and its parameters, and then the bringing of that to the board. So we hope to be able to bring that at some point very soon. We hope.
Good.
I don't know if there are any other questions about the call center. We just wanted to keep you updated because it's, you know, it's an ongoing portion of our operation.
And we're looking at that intergovernmental agreement. But from the time we enter into the intergovernmental agreement to the build out, do we have a ballpark on what that time frame would be?
We're waiting for some construction timeline.
Okay.
They have to go through the same procurement process that we do. for their outside construction vendors.
It's quick.
Overnight.
30 days.
No problem.
Exactly.
All right.
Just to set expectations in the right way.
The next thing that we thought it would be nice to talk to this group about are the streamlining of disputes. So we receive daily disputes from drivers who have received violations from us, who don't believe they should have received a violation. And we really do work with everybody to make sure that they should have received it. It was really them driving. They really owned the car at the time. It is their violation. But when it's not, you know, we request the appropriate documentation, we process the dismissal, we save the documentation, and we note it in the system and everything. We would like to streamline this a little bit because right now, the way that it happens is mostly over the phone and by mail. And we would like to empower customers a little bit more by giving them what we would refer to as an affidavit of non-liability for that violation of tolls, and let them fill it out online. Mm-hmm. They would still have to print it and kind of do a wet signature and send it in to us with their supporting documentation, but it empowers them in a way that they're not currently empowered. They could go online, see everything they need to send in, help describe the situation to us, and let us just process it in a standard way on the back end instead of having a series of phone conversations. So you have in front of you a form that I've passed around that's kind of the prototype for what this would look like online, what they would see, fill out, and print out, and sign. And I can just quickly walk you through the common disputes that would be part of this. And then we can talk a little bit more about some other types of disputes that we might want to consider in the future. So the first one there is sold. The vehicle has been sold. And was not in the possession of, it was in the possession of the new owner at the time. He had to just provide the receipts and stuff like that. The sale vehicle was stolen. Somebody was divorced.
So these are just the typical, though, as we've worked through these with people, these are the most common ones, and you can kind of see what they are. But these are the most typical when people call and say, this isn't mine because of XYZ. These are a lot of the reasons that are the pretty standard ones.
Yeah, they are. And again, they just give us the documentation and we can typically process that through. In whatever case possible, we will reassign a violation. We won't just close it and consider it dead. If somebody is divorced and the ex-spouse has the car, that ex-spouse then gets reassigned a violation once the paperwork on that divorce comes through. Same thing for if it's been sold, we reassign it to the new owner, etc. An inactive replacement transponder. As we have started replacing transponders at a faster and faster rate, we're going to do about 600,000 this year. We have found that we get a handful of calls every week saying, you know, I have my new transponder, it doesn't seem to be active. So we just want to give them a place to let us know that officially so that we can do the research and close that out for them. Incorrect registered owner, our DMVs around the country do not always have the right information on who owns a car. And oftentimes they can prove that to us. So it's a shockingly common dispute. Emergency vehicles and law enforcement vehicles, they contact us daily, say, you know, I was on official business, this is, here's all my paperwork to show that. But this, of course, just streamlines it a little bit more. Repossession, a vehicle is repossessed. And the repossession company had it, and usually the repossession companies will just own up to that and pay when we reassign. For the other ones, we're saying, for now, don't submit this form, please call us, we'll work with you.
And what's the timeline for using this?
Well, we think that we can probably go live with this in about a month. There are a few things to work out with how it would be placed on the web and some of the back office procedures that we're documenting and training people on. But we really think that this will be sooner rather than later.
And we don't have to change any of our policies to implement this. This is simply just a procedural that works within the confines of our current dispute resolution policies.
Right, right. It wouldn't really change anything. It would just make it faster, and it would make it more customer friendly.
What percent of the disputes will this cover? 90%?
Oh yeah, I think so. I don't have a perfect number for you, but 90% easily. These are the common ones. So some of the other ones, though, to your point, appear here on the next page. That second bullet actually lists some of the other common disputes we receive, but we work with them on a one-off basis. They say, I'm an EasyPass customer, I'm an iZoom customer, I don't understand why I got this violation. And we say, send us your account paperwork, and we will process it against your EasyPass or iZoom account for reciprocity. A vehicle being towed, it's amazing how oftentimes a tow truck will go through with a car hanging off the back of it. We get a picture of that plate, and then the person who's being towed gets the violation. Those get reassigned to the tow truck company, and you can almost always just see it in the photo. Fraud and identity theft, those are very complex ones. Each one's a little bit different, and when people call in with that, we have to request a variety of paperwork to understand how to deal with it. Incarceration and military deployment, it doesn't get you off the hook for paying tolls, but we will put you on lengthy, lengthy holds so that your stuff doesn't escalate. Now, those top two, though, are ones that have come up in the past for things that we should consider trying to put some more structure around. One is convoys. There is almost all of our convoys go through the cash booths, and the front car of a convoy will pay for all of the cars in that convoy. And these are almost all funerals, military or otherwise, and all the funeral homes know to work with us and use those cash lanes. But it's not always true. Every now and then, we hear from somebody who says they were part of a convoy, went through open road tolling, and it's pretty hard for us to know. The funeral home typically has to just say, yes, they were part of a convoy. Here's a letter, we'll take care of it. At which point, we'll kind of process a dispute, but these really are kind of one-offs. There's not a beautiful structure where you can kind of Google how to deal with it online. So that's something we'd like to consider putting some more structure around in the future, and certainly open to any ideas that people might have. And then another thing that has come up in the past with this group is the possibility of a courtesy dismissal. So this gets to the point, like, if it happens to somebody one time, can you make them a customer, or if they're never going to show up in your system again, can you give them a courtesy dismissal of fines, just take the tolls and let it be? It's something that you often find in, say, the credit card industry. If you make a late payment one time a year, they'll waive your late fees for that payment one time every calendar year, whatever it is. I mean, the different companies have different rules, but you sometimes find it in the cell phone business. You don't find it in the tollway business right now, and possibly because, again, there aren't fantastic protocols in the customer service world for tollways, but it is something that has come up before, and to the extent that
but I will say that when we first started, we talked about this, that one of the issues that came up with some previous board discussions was, we did want to have a process that was clear, and people shouldn't feel like, somebody could call separately and get just kind of a one-off deal, or depending on who you talk to, or depending on who it was. And so we've really, really tried over the last year and a half to create consistency there. So I think we'd want certainly to make sure that if we did implement some type of program, I don't know if courtesy is the right term.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, that there was consistency and that was applied evenly to everyone, so that it wasn't perceived to be something that if you called and asked, you got it, and if you did, we just want to certainly try to avoid that perception.
I think that, that's something that really fits into the analysis of the financial modeling that we're taking a look at in this policy, and I agree with Christy that, at least from my standpoint, the goal here is to have a comprehensive and all-encompassing policy that's going to direct this, I think we need to move towards that. And whether, so that this board is making a policy decision whether we're going to use those things, and if so, you know, it's going to be an across the board type of thing, and it'll be open to everybody. And by the same token, should we make the determination that we're not going to utilize those, that's it, that's the policy, and that's what we're following. But, you know, I think taking a look at these financial modeling and the impacts on our collection is really going to drive that more than, or I would hope, more than anybody's individual desires or what their vision is.
Right. So that could fit into something that is, I think your earlier recommendation of looking at, you know, is there something, if somebody's willing to get an iPass, for instance, or, you know, that there might be some additional consideration in those cases.
Right.
Got it. Okay. Good.
Okay. That's helpful. That kind of concludes this part of our discussion. The only other slide in there has been the same form that you all have in front of you. Shows the dispute form. But I think that there was another part of the agenda that we wanted to talk to just in general.
Yeah. Before we move on to the business system portion, do you have anything else under additional items?
No, why don't we just, if we could, just pull up the Trump, you know, I know that you've had a couple of slides here.
Yeah.
And it kind of actually transitions into possibly the next topic, although we won't be taking any action today. But just maybe, Shauna, catch us up on our, you know, kind of calendar and time frame here, your project plan. Both you and Joe actually are very much involved in this.
Right.
Transitioning of the electronic toll collection system. So. Slides.
There are just two slides, and the first one speaks the same timeline that we've talked to previously, which is the fact that we are replacing the back office system because our current one is bursting at the seams and unable to support the type of flexibility that we need as we move forward with Move Illinois and really just as we mature as an organization. The red circle is around the renewal contract year with our existing vendor called ETC, Electronic Tolling Corporation. And we have already done two renewals of their original 2005 contract, and this would be the third. And then we would anticipate having a fourth before we were ready for the new system. You can see the little dot, dot, dot at the end of that. And the reason that's there is because right now, this Trump contract, and Trump stands for, as you can see on the very front slide here, the Toll Revenue Management and Maintenance Program. It really is just electronic tolling soup to nuts. Everything from the lanes all the way to the back office. That's what we get from ETC under this Trump contract. And the back office portion is the portion that we really need to replace sooner rather than later for all the reasons discussed. But it does not mean that we will replace all the lanes as well. Our lanes are not bursting at the seams. They need hardware refreshes. They need constant maintenance. That's just part of having electronic tolling lanes. But they don't need to be replaced altogether, and certainly not at the same time as the back office. So we have that dot, dot, dot there, because there is a possibility that portions, and probably somewhat small portions, not the whole lane, but portions will have to remain with the current vendor for a little more time than what we have here. We're not quite sure yet. We're trying to work out exactly how that would be parsed, but I think it's a fair expectation to communicate. And again, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, this is all part of the discussion that we had and went into in depth at the last committee meeting about the RFP process and stuff that we were looking at there. Just as for everybody's edification, I mean, we had gone through and really broken that down for the purposes of making sure that we were able to maximize the number of people in areas that we could take a look at and maximize the highest level of performance and service to our customers at the best dollar price.
Mm-hmm.
And I only offer that up because I think the general consensus last time was that it was a very comprehensive process for the benefit of the long-term health of the tollway and for the benefit of the customer. So I know it's frustrating as you take a look at contracts and we continue to draw them out and use them, and particularly if we do them in short periods, but I just think it's important to make sure that everybody remembers that, because, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel and there's a reason that we're proceeding this way. Not to usurp what you were saying, but I just...
No, I'm glad you said it. I think that is a very important point. If you're going to do it, you should do it right. And sometimes that takes longer than feels ideal. So the next slide really just talks a little bit about this, the history of our renewal. The first renewal started in July of 2010, and it really focused on what we call the closeout of back office development. The back office system had been under development since 2005 at that point, but not all of it had been finalized from a programming perspective. So that year was almost all about finalizing the programming, as much as it can be finalized in a dynamic industry like this. That included dealing with rental car violations, processing, and reports development and whatnot. Our second renewal started in July of 2011, and that involved a lot more. And this was right when Joe got involved and started to really focus on the technical aspect of what was happening with the system. And as a result, we just brought in a dedicated team of developers, which was using their national pool as we had been doing. We enhanced infrastructure management overall by getting a dedicated technical lead, not just a bunch of programmers and then project managers, but actual, a technical manager. And then even doing some of this easy stuff that at least sounds easy on paper, it's actually not quite as easy. Updating infrastructure diagrams and doing infrastructure training for the tollway staff. I know this all sounds very exciting and glamorous, but it was from a technology perspective. I think, Joe, you can say it was a big step.
It was. It's huge.
Yeah.
Just getting a good picture of what was out there. We're still learning.
Yeah. Putting together this last year that we've had the renewal of plan for system monitoring. We do system monitoring on a pretty basic level. We've been working very hard this year to expand how we do that so that we are aware when something goes wrong before it goes wrong. Mm-hmm. And opening some new open road tolling zones like Balmoral, which is always a big undertaking because you have to add lanes into the system and change your reports and integrate a bunch of new equipment into the back office. So now we're staring down at renewal 3, which I guess we're going to talk about here in a minute. And the idea would be that we would continue along the same path of really fine-tuning the technology part of this and just keeping things running as we make plans for a much more flexible future. And there will be a bunch of new lanes, too. You know, Hoover, Illinois will be up and running.
I'm treading on a much more flexible period. And a bunch of new lanes.
that does have a nice ring to it.
Right.
I agree. So that's just the basic background. I'm not sure if there are any questions about...
So we'll continue to negotiate, and if for some reason this is something that we can do and get to the board this month, we will make every effort to try to do that. But we can discuss whatever the negotiated terms end up being. We can certainly discuss that more comprehensively at the board meeting.
All right. That being said, I think with that, obviously there's no action to be taken on that matter. So the next item we would have is public comment. Marty, you okay? All right.
You're the only member of the public present.
Is there any unfinished business? Any new business? As far as I know, we don't require an executive session, so I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, we stand adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And